Hello and welcome to episode 180 of the 6-1 IndyCast. My name is Mike Toundra. Tonight, I am joined by a full crew of beautiful, lovely human beings. The first being Kyle Stevenson.
Hi.
The next being Becca Smith.
Hello.
Oh, just waves. Okay. The third being Matt Wright.
Yeah.
And for making his IndyCast debut, the man behind the scenes, making the magic happen with the 6-1 Indy Showcase, one Mike Clancy.
Hey, gang.
Ooh, hello. Woo!
What's up?
Mike Clancy, who the hell are you? Why are you on my podcast?
I'm the graphics gremlin behind the scenes for us around these parts. I'm trying to think back when I discovered you guys. It must have been a year and a half or more at this point. I probably found you through Kind of Funny somehow.
Probably.
And I was like, I like these lads. At the time, it was just lads. So I think I just did some, like, I am one to mess around in Photoshop during my quiet times at work. And I would do some fan art and stuff for Kind of Funny. And then I was like, well, I'm going to do it for these guys. And then one thing led to another, and now I'm part of the team.
Now you're stuck with us.
Yeah.
Can we update the website to refer to Mike Clancy as
Graphics Gremlin, GG?
Yeah, please.
So that works. I was wondering about that, because I can't remember if it's X-Files or something, but like gremlins usually mess with technology. So wouldn't like a graphics gremlin like mess with the graphics?
That's true.
Like mess it up?
That's true. Yeah.
I also just, before we, you know, get too far away from it.
Sure.
Are we just going to address Mike calling it his podcast?
His podcast?
And not,
yeah.
And not
ours? I was teasing. I'm the captain here. Wow. I'm running the ship.
Wow.
Okay. I could end the stream right now, Mike.
You want to throw a mutiny, you cowards? Come at me. Anyways, Clancy, great to have you. I love you. Great job on the podcast. Or on the showcase.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited for everybody to see it.
Yeah, it's a great time. I mean, you technically haven't seen your work yet, but it's a good time. Mm. And the few people who have seen it outside of me and Kyle and Kelsey have been praising your work. I'm very excited for everybody else to see it. But before we talk about the showcase stuff, this is the 6-1 IndyCast, a weekly video game podcast amplifying the indie scene and smaller games outside of the AAA space. New episodes drop each and every Monday morning on all major podcast feeds and youtube.com/61indie. Supporters on patreon.com/61indie can tune in live as we record and gain access to Clocked Out. Becca, how dare you yawn at my intro? The IndyCast post show. But if money is tight, no worries. You still can show your support with a simple click. Wherever you're listening, go ahead and leave this podcast a review. Follow 6-1 Indie on socials. Subscribe, hit the bell on YouTube, follow on Twitch, and tell your friends all about us. Housekeeping, guess what? This Wednesday at 11:50 a.m. Eastern, 8:50 a.m. Pacific,
what is it?
There's this thing called the 6-1 Indie Showcase happening. It's a good time. I can vouch for it. Kyle, can you vouch?
Can vouch.
Sick.
Good time.
Excellent.
Why are we starting 10 minutes earlier than usual? Because the show is being kicked off by one Petey. It is the Petey's Play Now pre-show, highlighting six recently launched indie games that may have flown under the radar, followed by the 6-1 Indie Showcase at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, with 33 upcoming indie titles, world premieres, exclusive looks, and showcase debuts, and a surprise or two or three, or maybe 33. Who's to say? And then once the showcase ends, we have 19 developer interviews, hands-on impressions from Becca, Austin, Harry, and the wonderful editorial crew, and a 3+ hour post-show podcast where first half, me and Kyle talk about behind-the-scenes stuff. Second half, Matt and Becca come along, talk about the games. It's going to be a good time. All that could be found on 6-1indie.com/showcase. Spread the love, spread the word. That's all I got for you. And once the showcase ends, me, Kyle, Clancy, Harry, we'll be roaming around Boston at PAX East. Well, Clancy already roams around Boston a little bit. But we'll all be at PAX East, so if you see us, say hi. Once again, if you see something, say something.
Mm-hmm. By the way, thank you for making that part of like my everyday vernacular now.
Well, if you see something, say something?
Yeah. I mean, yes, I know it was a thing beforehand, but I'm just saying.
Thank the MTA.
Yeah, but hearing you say it in this way, I use it all the time now.
Good. I'm sure that offends nobody.
Yeah.
I get flashbacks to being in Manhattan.
Yeah. It's fair.
Tonight's episode, we're going to talk about PAX East and do like our PAX East preview and kind of talk about how we approach PAX East in general, especially Clancy. This is going to be your first time with a special badge.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about like the plan, just how we rummage around with like little Boston goblins around the seaport and stuff to play them video games. But first, I do want to shout out the months of April and May. In case you missed it. Great months. Spring gets warmer. The flowers start to bloom. They're wonderful. Am I right, Becca? Which one do you like better, Becca? April or May?
Just the way you said it. I just want to shout out the months of April and May.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I thought he was just going to go into the rest of the intro.
A+ months. I prefer April because
right into the summer.
Easter candy is really good.
That's fair. That's fair. Easter is the earliest year. Yeah.
The earliest year?
It's early this year.
Oh, I thought you said it was.
Oh, is it this month?
Isn't Easter sometimes in March?
Sometimes.
It's the 31st this month.
Sometimes them bunnies do be fast.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I was going to say something else. Anyways, April and May suddenly have become like ridiculously hectic when it comes to some of our most anticipated indie games. I'm going to rattle off just seven release dates for you. April 9th. Yellow Taxi Goes Vroom and Children of the Sun both launch on the same day. Wild. I think Matt, me and you played Children of the Sun. We loved it. Can't wait. I'm very surprised it's this soon.
First person shooter puzzle game, right?
Sniper puzzle game.
Puzzle game, if you want to call it that, with just like the sickest aesthetic. Mm-hmm. It looks so good. And then we all kind of checked out Yellow Taxi Goes Vroom during Next Fest. We loved it. It's Crazy Taxi meets Mario 64. What's there not to love? Yeah, just with a vroom button.
I was going to say, does it in fact go vroom?
It goes vroom.
Sweet.
Accuracy is important.
Never mind. April 25th, another Crab's Treasure, which we've known about for a while. Ooh. But again, it's pretty much this month. It might as well be with how fast time is going. Can't wait. Obviously, you know the crab game. Crab Souls, like, can't wait. May 7th, Ventures to the Vile just announced their release date. Really sick, kind of like Victorian-inspired goth Metroidvania. We played it during Next Fest. We liked it. 2 days later, May 9th, Crow Country.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Two days before my birthday.
Happy birthday, Kyle. Happy birthday to the crows.
Yeah.
Yeah, PS1 inspired Resi or PS1 Resi inspired game. And yes, here is your Resident Evil drop for the podcast this week. Austin played it, and there's a preview up on the site.
Yes.
Thank you. He liked it a lot, and I'm very excited to play it. May 21st, Paper Trail, the next game from the developer behind Hue from 2016.
I just saw this a couple days ago on Twitter. And God, that looks stunning.
Yeah. Very excited for it because Hue is quite special. If you haven't played Hue, please go back. And then sometime in May, Crystalla is launching in early access.
Yay!
Amazing.
Can't wait. That's the Assassin's Creed meets Sekiro cat Souls-like game. We played it during X Fest. Of course, it was it closed our showcase in August.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So we love that team and cannot wait to play more. They're also going to be at PAX East, which is going to be a great segue into the topic of the show. Also, full disclosure, I've barely been sleeping for like the past like 3 weeks. I think it's pretty obvious. Strap in, lads.
Wait, did we shout out our Petey fans?
Shout out to the PD fans, Brett Griffin, Colby Cordes, Jacob McCourt, JC, Jill Grote, Nicholas Johnson, Nicole Humphrey, Play It Jason, The Compound, Stingray X, Ellie, and also the showcase producers, Silkana in the chat. I know I said his name already. Jacob McCourt and Cole, a.k.a. The Good Sir. Housekeeping for you, blah, blah, blah. Well, here's the release. Topic of the show. Hey, PAX East.
Great.
Kyle.
You did great, Mike.
Thanks. I also should have said part of the housekeeping, irregular podcast schedule. This is dropping Monday, whatever the hell that date is, the 18th. And then we are doing our nightly PAX East episodes. But before that is the post show. Irregular podcast schedule. That's all I got for you. My brain, no good. Kyle, but tell me about...
Just really quickly, in 2 weeks, there will not be a podcast.
Correct.
We are resting.
We rest. If you want the schedule in a more cohesive manner, go to Patreon. There's a public post. Patreon.com/61indie. Kyle, tell me about PAX East. What's PAX East? Oh, what's, man, Boston? Tell me about the city of Boston.
It all started back, I don't know.
the tea party. Tell me about this tea.
They threw it in the
river. You got some tea?
I did, actually, before. I had some Snapple peach tea.
I want the gossip, Bill.
Oh, I don't have any gossip for you. Mm. Not anything good, at least.
Tell me about PAX East.
Anyways, PAX East, it's a gaming convention that happens every single year in Boston. PAX is a branded, there's one in Western Seattle. I believe there is still a PAX Australia.
Yes.
And there used to be a PAX South and elsewhere around the states. It's a great gaming convention that highlights indies first and foremost, or at least which is why we love it so much, and has a lot of great panels where we get games media folks and influencers and just really cool people come to talk about interesting topics. Our favorite part of it, though, is finding like the PAX Rising booth or the Indie Mega booth back when they were still around. They usually had like the really, really awesome smaller indie games to highlight, and it's just a good way to find like-minded folks, play games, and find really cool devs and being able to talk to them. It's way more approachable than like a Comic-Con. Haven't been to a E3, so I don't know what that is like consumer-wise, but PAX is pretty approachable and accessible, I would say, for anyone that just loves video games.
Especially East in particular. Yeah. West last year was my first West. It was, PAX is always a good time. Like, there's nothing against the exhibitors or the people there or anything like that. PAX West was rough in terms of how it was laid out. It was between two buildings, and both buildings were like at least a 10-minute walk from one another, which was not great when it comes to like, they didn't tell you that before, like making the appointments and you didn't really know where anything was. And like, it was rough, but I personally do like East a lot better. Kyle, when was our first East together?
Oh, man. 18?
17?
I don't think it was 17. I could be wrong.
It might have been, me and Kelsey might have been 17, then you 18. Because I think Kelsey and I went before you once.
Maybe, possibly. What year was Kind of Funny Prom?
18?
18. So what, then I must have been there at 17. Anyways, it's been a while. Anyways. it's been at least 5+ years of going to PAX, including the COVID year of 2020 when the final PAX was happening.
The final game convention.
Yeah, that was a great time. Yeah, it's been a while, and we've been on both sides. We've gone as just a regular civilians, as Mike would call it, the civilian badge.
Respectfully.
Yeah, exactly. The utmost respect. We understand the hustle for anyone that didn't get a media badge and is going there to cover. Like, that's what we did. We would just wake up early, get in those lines.
Yeah.
Wait in the lines to play games and then try to cover it. It's definitely a grind and a hustle. But now we see both sides of the coin. So we love PAX. It's integral to what we do here at 61 Indie, I feel like.
Yeah. So for just a brief history about our approach to PAX, pre having our foot in the door, I guess. 18, 19, and 20, we had the civilian badges, as we like to call it, or as Mike likes to call it. And yeah, like I was saying, it was very much like the, I think 17, 18th, it was getting like our palates wet and like getting that itch to like do content, do coverage, do the grind. 19 and 20 was really when it started like really popping off, it feels like, where we would wake up at like 8 o'clock in the morning to make sure we got herded, like all the cattle in the expo hall where they gated everybody together.
Remind me for next week while we're at PAX. I want to go through my phone gallery and find the videos we took of us waiting in line before the show.
And how miserable opened. We were.
And Mike and I mean, obviously, if you don't know, we podcast every night at PAX East, talk about what we played. Mike is up super late editing it all so you can listen to it. And we woke up early because it was Final Fantasy VII Remake was there. I wanted to get a ticket to meet the cast and get a demo ticket. We got there super early, and much love to the PAX enforcers, the staff there that runs it. But they were way too happy and go lucky and way too much energy for us that early in the morning. And then, of course, like, they throw all these inflatables in the crowd.
Yeah, it's like they're bouncy ball at beach balls. And they're playing volleyball in the crowd.
Yeah, and pool rafts, whatever, coming over. And Mike and I were just having none of it.
Monster number one is in hand. Monster number two is in my back left pocket.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fucking miserable and just wanted to, had nothing to do with it.
The angriest I think we've ever looked at a PAX was in that line.
Fucking miserable. I feel like that was the critical moment of like when we became games media. It's like, yeah. If we're here for, well, we always go for the fun of it, obviously, but yeah. If we were here for the pure fun of it and not trying to do a grind or to do a job, maybe we would have enjoyed it more. God damn, we're fucking miserable. But yeah, was there a PAX East 21? No, 21 did not exist. That was PAX Online.
Yes, I believe that was PAX Online.
That's when we did our Pokemon panel and stuff.
Yep.
So yeah, 22 was our first year to actually get media badges and media access. And yeah, like I was saying, we hit the show floor all day, talking to people, meeting people, reuniting with people, playing a ton of games. And yeah, we do the podcast every single night, and always a fun, chaotic time. I know it's one of Matt's favorite things. We started doing a new thing last year where Matt will just will have an open Discord call. So at least Matt can listen while we talk and chime in just through text. Did that like play okay with you last year or 2 years ago? No, last year.
That was last year, yeah.
Yeah. Did you feel like you were in the room with us?
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun.
Okay. We'll do it again.
didn't have to spend, you know, hundreds of dollars of plane tickets and hotel fare, and got to hang out with the boys.
Yeah. A lot of fun. So yeah, that's kind of like the general approach to PAX. So Clancy, I know you did PAX last year. Was last year your first PAX?
No, my first one was 2020. So the last bit of fun before everything went to hell.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so this year will be my third.
Nice. Yeah. What's your typical approach to doing PAX? Do you have like a game plan going in, or like, do you know what you want to play, or you're just kind of going to hang out and see what's around?
Yeah, I'm kind of just like a browser or window shopper or whatever. I'm not one to wait on an hour long line for something that I'll get to play in a month. So I just do a lot of just like peeking over shoulders and watching other people play and just kind of getting the overall vibe of everything. I think last year I did play Toxic Crusaders. The line wasn't too bad for that one. And WrestleQuest.
Hell yeah.
I think those are the two things I played. And I regretted not waiting online to play Mina the Hollower. And I'm hoping it's back this year.
Spoilers, it is not.
Okay.
So this is you're going to be your first year with, we were able to get you a media badge.
Yeah.
Are you excited? Do you know what you're getting into with that?
No, I feel a little imposter syndrome with it because it's like, if I've got the badge and I go and like do something, people will be like, oh, who are you with? Or what coverage are you doing? And be like, I'm the graphics gremlin. I don't know. I mean, obviously.
I just say, I'm with 6-1 Indie. I work on the showcase. That's it.
Yeah.
And in all reality, the media badge, yeah, will get us like the appointment emails beforehand.
Oh yeah, I've been getting those.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome to the club.
Full. Gives us access to like a special room where we could drop off, or most people use it as a place to go, you know, write up articles, whatever. I will speak personally. My favorite thing about having a media badge is the Thursday at PAX, having an hour of first rain of the floor where we can go out and kind of just pinpoint what we're going to go play first, which is what we're going to probably decide, or I'm going to decide now as we go through all the exhibitors and see who's there. As be like, because that was like last year, Knowing Devolver, where Sarah's like, oh, I gotta play Cult of the Lamb first, so I beelined it there.
Yeah,
and it's usually an easier way to get the games that you feel like are gonna be a big hit and it'll be a long line throughout the weekend. But other than that, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, it's definitely the other perk is you get your own line to get in, like a very much like a not as intense security line. They still check you, obviously, but it's just not as many people, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely like has its perks, but yeah, no, it's not too much different. And certain people will, like developers and exhibitors, will talk to you a little differently if they see the media under the big PAX logo. They'll
which is unfortunate. Being on both sides of the coin, it's unfortunate.
It is. Again, it's not everybody, and it's it's a very rare case nowadays, but media sometimes, depending on the person, depending on the exhibitor, publisher, whatever it may be, you'll get a little bit of special treatment, but it's nothing wild. Actually, Kyle, I'm surprised you didn't say what your actual favorite part was and what everybody's favorite part is. The couches.
I can't remember any other than like the Turtles couch. That's the only
Turtles couch was great.
Remember how you went on a whole diatribe about the couch?
Yeah, we're going to do a whole feature about the top 10 couches at PAX East.
Matt, I don't remember what I did 2 hours ago.
Hi, Jill. I'm glad you remembered your normal Patreon login.
Oh, Jill wants to start from the top. Okay. April or May? Which one's best?
Hey, you know what? Speaking of starting from the top, I did forget a piece of housekeeping that has been sitting on my lap this entire time. Hey, if you're listening to this on Monday, go check out sixwayindie.com/merch because we got some new swag, baby. We got this beautiful pale blue hoodie with our boy Petey on there. If you go on the back, it says play more indies. Super dope. And then... And Clancy, I know I have to get you a custom one of these. I drop a bottle. Ah, Jesus. a lovely snapback.
Yeah.
Look at that. Yes. A white PD logo embroidered on the front. The 6-1 Indie lettering on the side. Nice 6-1 blue all around. You'll love to see it.
Looks good.
The merch store got a full refresh. There's a bunch of stuff. So go check a look. Now I can take this off my lap. It's very hot in here. I was gonna wear it, but I can't. Fuck, were we talking about PAX?
Couches. The couches. We were talking about couches. Yeah.
Well, yes. Becca, have you ever done a convention? Like, I don't know if we ever really talked about this, even just personally.
I went to MAGFest last January. Not this January, but January 2023. It's the Music and Games Festival. So I imagine, from what I could tell, I imagine much smaller than something like PAX or like GDC or something like that. So very understated, mostly just, I think mostly it was, there was like, there's a lot of music because it's about music, like video game music mostly. And then there was a huge section where there was like a bunch of arcade and pinball machines. And I brought my dad with me. And he's been gaming his entire life, and just seeing him like play Donkey Kong was like one of the greatest moments of my entire life. Because he doesn't play stuff like that anymore, obviously. But yeah, him telling me his stories about playing Donkey Kong and things like that, super fun. But yeah, very much went as just a kind of fun thing because I was working with Materia Music at the time, and Rob over on their team invited me. Just kind of told me about it and was like, hey, are you going? I'm like, it's all the way in Maryland. That's really far away. It's like 10 hours. And I was like, just kind of hypothetically asked my dad. And he's like, if you want to go, I'll go. So we kind of just went on a whim last year, but I haven't been to anything big ever. I think I would be very overwhelmed.
Yeah. I was gonna say, how do you want to do a PAX one of these days or something? Or you think it's just like kind of not your vibe?
No, I'd love to. I would try anything once, but ever since COVID, I've been really bad with crowds.
Sure, yeah.
So same. I would not be able to maybe do like a whole weekend. I could probably do like a day.
Yeah.
Unrelated. Sorry, Mike. Becca, did your dad just like curse Billy Mitchell's name the entire time he was playing Donkey Kong?
No, man. There was a section that was like Donkey Kong and Miss Pac-Man and Pac-Man. It was like the alt Galaga as well. He was just kind of cursing everyone. But it was like free to play for everything, which was incredible. I played DDR and realized that I'm too old to play DDR. Yeah. Even though it was it's like my favorite game as a kid, but if my dad was just standing back watching me and I failed like a song on Super Easy, I was like, yeah, I'm not fit enough to play this game anymore. And there was all these weird like Japanese rhythm games as well. They had they had to have like imported them from somewhere, I don't know, but there was a bunch of weird ones. There was this one that was like a cube with a bunch of squares on it, and you had to like dance around the cube and press the buttons. And it was wild. It was wild. And then in the opposite side, they had every console you could think of, all of the retro consoles with a variety of games. If you wanted them to change out the games, they would change out the games. I think I played SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom for like an hour. My dad was like, can we leave?
I feel you not wanting to play games in front of other people, because I think it was Comic-Con, Mike, where we played Iron Man on PSVR.
Oh yeah.
To
your point right now, awful playing games in front of people, but VR in particular.
It's awful. Cause I think Mike and Kelsey took a video of me playing Iron Man. One of the most humiliating things I've ever seen.
Especially VR. Like, exactly, because
I got little wand controllers in my hand, and in that game to like do like the repulsor beams, you just kind of have like the punch forward, and it's just a little, the weakest little punches are happening from me. VR is wild in public.
I remember when I got my Meta Quest. This is kind of not related, but I remember when got my Meta Quest and I was obsessed with Beat Saber. And my dad was like, how does it work? And, you know, what does it look like and stuff? And I'm like, why don't you come down and I can like stream it and you can see what I'm doing? It looks super cool, I bet. I'm moving my arms, like I'm walking all over the place, because I was playing on like Expert at that point, because I've been playing hours of it. I took my headset off after a song and he's like, that looked fucking stupid. I'm like, you don't get it. You're not in it.
I think Jill brings up a great point. Also, she mentioned it's so bad when the dev is watching you. It's even worse when the dev is trying to walk you through it. When it's a demo that the dev has to walk you through it. Like Iron Man, for example, it was even more rough because like we couldn't really just do our own thing. Yeah. Like it was like every single movement step by step, which I appreciate. Obviously, like that's their job. They have to like, make sure you're playing the game accurately, you're getting a good depiction of it. But yeah, I've played PAX East demos. Like there's this game, I think it's actually, we're probably going to talk about it because it is at PAX East again this year. It's a arcade bowling game, but like kind of like What the Golfy, but bowling pin something.
Is it one Pin of those Alley or Pin City?
I think, well, we're about to find out in a few minutes.
Yeah, sure.
It's one of those VR experiences, and oh, I shouldn't say experience. It's one of those VR games that speaks for itself. It's like, you know how to bowl, like, you know how to roll a ball. So like it's very hands off on the dev side of things. So like that kind of VR experience in a convention setting, all about. But yeah, Iron Man in particular was not great.
Now, I was just going to ask you a question, Matt. I know I've been with Matt at a PSX gaming convention, but I don't know what other gaming conventions you've been to.
So just the gaming conventions was PSX 16 and 17. But what I was going to say related to the VR conversation, I got to try Rhombus of Room, Psychonauts at...
That was PSX.
That went 16, right?
Yeah.
But the lead on that project was there, and I forget his name, but he was helping me out a little bit because I got stuck a little bit. But I had a very positive and fun experience. Like after I was finished with the demo, like I got to talk with them, like the logistics of what they were doing and with the limitations, but also the exploration of being able to do that kind of game in VR was a lot of fun. I loved being able to just talk to the developer about that. And that was before we started doing podcasting and stuff like that.
For clarification,
devs is awesome.
Yeah. For clarification, I'm not saying like, if you have a VR game, don't walk your appointments through it. It's really like me and Kyle are like, I feel like scarred from the Iron Man experience because it was just very incredibly handholdy, which is like really awkward when you can't see the person trying to move your body around and stuff.
Ryan Payton's studio. I forget the name, but they did Rip Camouflage. Camouflage,
right?
Yes. Matt was meta last year.
Like what Matt was saying, like, yeah, the media hour is quote unquote my favorite part. But my favorite part is actually talking to the devs about their game, because they finally get to talk about it and gush about it, and their passion just seeps out of them when they talk about it. It's awesome. I think it might have been last year. It had to have been last year when we all played Plunder Panic.
Yeah, it must have been last year.
It's like Killer Queen, but pirate themed. If you don't know the Killer Queen arcade cabinet, I'll be a horrible person to explain it to you, but it's a great party arcade experience. And this was a pirate version. And the guy running that booth was, I needed that kind of energy from him at that time because we were all so tired, and he was in it. He was cheering us on. It just made the whole thing feel way more memorable, which is what I look forward to when we go to these things.
Yeah. And of course, the other part of it is unrelated to the video games themselves, just being able to see friends.
Yeah.
Whether they're in the game dev side of things or the media side of things, it's you know, there's what, 4 times a year that everybody's in the same place at once usually, because our industry is so all over the place. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to be able to reunite folks. I'm especially excited for this year because it seems like a lot of people are going to East, which I'm very happy about. So Kyle and Clancy, what's our plan for this year? You know, how are we doing things? You know, I like personally, I ain't trying to take too many appointments. Like, I'm trying to be more of a floater. There's some folks that want to talk showcase stuff and awards stuff. There's, you know, obviously friends want to hang out and make, you know, grab coffee or whatever. Kyle, are you making appointments? What are you doing?
Probably not. And I'll be honest, there's nothing there that's screaming I need to make an appointment so far.
Sure.
We still got a few days, but I'm probably just going to wander and see, you know, what catches my eye. And also, this will be my first game convention in Games PR. Yep. So there'll also be like work related things that we'll be doing while we're there. So yeah. I'm learning how to juggle all that too. I'm just excited to see it, even though, and we'll get into it when we get to the exhibitors. It's weird seeing some pretty standard names that we expect at PAX not being there.
Yeah.
So there's some, that seems a little weird.
There's some weird gaps.
Like one Devolver, in particular. Where you at?
Yeah. Weird that Devolver's not there. Jill said she's sweating looking at her calendar. She's going to GDC, which is, of course, same week, overlapping once again, twice in a row. We love to see it. Fuckers. Clancy, being your first time as a media person getting swarmed with these emails, are you making appointments?
No, I wasn't. I mean, again, back to the whole, like, I'm not actually doing any of the coverage sort of stuff for us. So I would have felt a little weird doing that. So yeah, no appointments, just like a couple of things I want to make sure I catch. I didn't realize Devolver is not going to be there, so I crossed off a few hopefuls on my list. And like, I've never done any of the like panels or anything, and so I definitely want to check out Blessing doing Game Showdown. Selfishly to see if my Kind of Feudy logo is represented at all. And what else was there? Another one? Oh, I mean, it's not video game related. It's on the more the tabletop side, but I might enter the singles Crokinole competition on Saturday.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. And then there's, I want to make sure I could find, here it is. So many friends doing so many killer panels. Of course, there's the video game Tinder panel with like, Kenneth Shepard, Kate Sanchez. I forgot exactly who else. I think Jesse's on that. Eric from Destructoid is on that, I believe. Brendan Groom is hosting, the video game cocktail hour, because Brendan Groom on Pass the Controller, if y'all aren't familiar, Brendan Groom makes like custom cocktails catered to particular video games, and it like fucking stellar content. So like, they're doing that as a PAX panel. I just pulled it up. It's Brendan Groom, indie council mate Jenny Windham, Michael Hyam, Kenneth Shepard, Kate Sanchez, Jesse Vitelli, banger cast. Very excited to check that one out. And then there's a, I forgot exactly the name of it, but there's a Composing for Cozy, I think it's called. It's like a video game composition panel about like crafting scores for more cozy-centric games. There's a Vicarious thing related to that, that A, I want to go to it as a somebody with a music background and a love for music, but B, an interest for work also. And of course, Matt, Friday night, Chipsil playing a concert. And also, Skatu Network playing a show. Very excited. Mm-hmm. Will I have time? Will I be awake?
What's he getting?
We'll see. What's he pulling out?
Show and tell with Matt.
Boop, 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 boop. I didn't realize it was going to take this long. While Matt figures out his life, let's go to the old PAX website. We're going to run through some exhibitors. Becca, I want to get you in the conversation.
Hello.
Hello.
I already tagged a few because you sent me the website earlier.
Yeah. Tell me some of them that you tagged. Let's just, yeah, mention one.
Well, I love always seeing Child's Play at these events. It's a charity. Mm,
yes.
Because they create really, really incredible things. And they raise, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for people every single year. It is a charity that is made to improve the lives of pediatric patients and find ways to help children play games and feel better. And I believe Child's Play might also be the company that is working on... now I'm second guessing myself, but I think they might be the ones that are working on... where you can play games with just your eyes for people that... that aren't able to play games with their hands. And so I think I was watching someone play like Don't Starve, and you play just by moving your eyes and by blinking and things like that. I believe they also do that. So yeah, they're just kind of just, I always just, it gives me the warm and fuzzies when I see them because they do such incredible work, and I always try to keep up with them and, you know, donate when I can. Because everybody should have access to games. And we talk so much about accessibility and the importance of accessibility. So that was one that popped out at me on the list.
Yeah, we met with them probably a few years back now. Yeah, definitely. They're on my list of people to like hit up just to like reconnect with, especially since our primary piece of content is like this showcase and now the awards. Like, we'd love to get them involved in some way, shape, or form. You hit me with an, oh, well, Matt, you thank you for returning 15 minutes later. what do you got?
Can't find it, which is worth bothering it. Me. My super hexagon vinyl, which is okay. A hexagon.
Oh, that's a good piece.
Not important. Mm-hmm.
Becky, you got another?
Yes. The Behemoth is going to be
there. Yeah, Behemoth.
Yeah. Those are the folks that made Alien Hominid, Castle Crashers, Battle Block Theater. So when I saw their logo, I screeched a little bit.
Hell yeah.
So, it looks like they've got a couple of things going on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I just like them because they're just incredible co-op games. Honestly, like, they're hilarious. Like, the sense of humor is so unique. And then I just always love co-op games because anytime that I have friends over, I'm like, what the heck do we play? And I always gravitate to Battle Block Theater or anything that these guys create. So I hope that they have a lot of people creating a lot of havoc.
Battle Block is the one I did not play from them.
You are kidding me.
It's fun. Yeah, that's just the one I missed for whatever reason. I think I own it, but I just never jumped in.
Well, we'll have to fix that
at some point. Okay, we'll play it at some point.
A lot of co-op. There should be a good couch there.
Probably, yeah, maybe number one couch. We'll see. We'll see. The battle of the couches. That's why I'm excited for all the couches.
Who's the? Sorry, going off on a tangent. Who's the guy in the 90s who had like the God yellow blonde hair, but like interviewed people, but like his hair was just like. But like, I'm picturing Kyle doing that with couches, like going around like interviewing couches.
How many butts have sat on you? What was your best butt?
One of my favorite pieces of content from like E3's past is Isla Hink from Easy Allies would go around and rate the best carpets of E3. Mm. So it's similar vibes of that. So if there's enough couches there, I might do a little something. Who knows?
That's good content.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if we ever note to selves, if we come across couches, take a picture. I want to write that feature.
Yeah. Rate it.
Clancy, have you had a chance to look through the list? If so, anyone that stands out immediately?
Yeah, I took a little browse through. I think the biggest thing for me is something that I kickstarted and I'm waiting for, which is Lucid from Apogee Entertainment.
I know that game. I know that man.
So, yeah, I believe they're on the far back wall, down the center. So, yeah, I'm excited to get over there and get some hands on it because I've been following that on socials for quite some time. And he seems like a cool guy and very excited about that project.
I can speak for everybody. Eric, probably one of our favorite human beings. One of the best friends of 6-1.
Yeah. I would agree.
Nice. Delightful lad. Very excited to see him again.
And again, my memory sucks. Lucid opened our very first showcase, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
We had the world premiere of Lucid for our very first showcase.
Awesome.
Kyle, the game fucks.
It does. It does fuck.
Pretty hard.
Did I miss an email?
Don't worry about it.
Per my last email, Matt, we now say email. This game fucks.
Something I didn't, I mean, I saw it in passing last year, but didn't get a good look at it. It seems like Animal Well is going to be back again.
Yep.
So I definitely want to get a closer look at that this time after having seen a few more videos and stuff that have come out about it.
Yeah, Animal Well, real good. It's funny, like, speaking of Animal Well and just, like, going through the list also, a lot of this, like, for me, it's, like, a chance to just see friends again. Like, I'm very excited to see Madison and Ben again for Animal Well. Of course, Berserk. We love Berserk. Hunter over there is phenomenal. They made a game that I'm blanking on the name of right now, the Castlevania-like.
Infernax,
thank you. Great folks over there. Same with Acapura. Acapura's slate is really sick at the moment. I don't think they announced exactly what's at PAX. I know one thing in particular is not there. But yeah, Acapura puts out bangers. Retroware, friends of ours as well, their slate is incredible. I haven't had a chance to play Toxic Crusaders yet, so I'm very excited to give it a shot. Clancy, did you like it last year?
Yeah, it was fun. You know, your basic what's the genre there?
Beat 'em up.
Yeah, but yeah, it was the visuals are really cool, and just their whole presentation was a lot of fun. Not just okay, here's a normal booth with a TV at it. You know, the whole thing is very cool.
Yeah,
I remember going to that booth and thanking them for allowing us to show off Prison City.
Yeah,
yes,
Prison City. And none of the people that were working the booth knew anything about it at all. So they were just like, sure, you're welcome. And it was like that awkward handshake. Yeah, Matt.
The Retroware booth has 4 free 11x23 double-sided game posters. And Prison City is one of those.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
Yeah, we Kyle, I might be able to. I'm going to extend the invite your way because it was just kind of like a last minute kind of thing. We have a dinner reservation with the Retroware folks.
Oh, Mike having all these secret
little clip on
dinners planned.
And by that, I mean we're going to go fucking hang out at the Omni Bar at like 5 o'clock on Thursday.
Okay.
Delightful human beings. And also just like 2 other quick like friend shout outs. Of course, Toge Productions, love the fucking Toge folks. Delightful. And Dread XP, love the Dread folks, especially now that it's also Hunter who does Dread XP now. And obviously Dread's lineups are always insane. Love them. I think Hollow Body is, no, not Hollow Body. What's the other one? Oh my God. Is it Hollow Body? Am I thinking of Hollow Body? Heartworm. Okay. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I believe Heartworm is playable, which I'm very excited about.
The one
about.
That moved out of this year for release, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's playable or has some sort of presence.
Limited Run is going to be there.
They have Rugrats playable.
Boy. Ooh.
Yeah. I got Limited Run up the street now. I don't need to go to these booths anymore, you know? I'm good. I'm living my best life.
I will say not a indie game or a developer there that I'm looking forward to in this particular example, but a thing that Matt and I are both very passionate about. There is a nonprofit would be there called Hit Save, which are all about preserving video game history and physical media. So I will definitely want to stop by and
mildly just
thank them for the good fight. That. Exactly. And see if there's anything I can do to help. Cause it's, that means a lot to me, is preserving that physical media and history of video games. So it's cool seeing that they'll have a presence there, which is awesome.
Kyle, you know what's stupid?
What?
Spyro, the Reignited trilogy, got printed twice. If you bought the first print of it, it only has the first game on the disc. So you have to look for the disc that says 2018, 2019, and that has all three games on the disc. Games preservation is stupid hard.
Hey, that MLB The Show Negro League edition that we're both
doesn't have a disc.
Doesn't have a disc.
Still bought
it's a steelbook.
Because that message no is disc. Important. And yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I'm very, very excited.
Becca, you got another?
Yeah, sure. Mighty Yell will be there.
Yes. Speaking of friends, I forgot about them.
Big Con, which is a game that I absolutely love. The 90s vibes are immaculate.
I will go on record and say, along with Eric, Dave from Mighty Yell, another best friend of 6-1. Delightful human being. My favorite Canadian, I will say. Without thinking of my other Canadian friends.
I'm going to say, but that's a lot of people.
A lot of people just hit the chopping block.
Me not thinking who my actual Canadian friends are at the moment off the top of my head.
You heard that, pointed. Jacob McCourt?
You heard that, Jacob McCourt? Jacob understands. Jacob knows Dave. Becky, you got another?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, just rattle them off. Come on. Conversation. Let's go.
So this was when I was looking through the website. I hadn't heard of them before, but I saw horror game, and so I clicked on them. It is Color Fiction.
Okay.
It looks like they specialize in psychedelic games, and they have an upcoming horror game that they haven't revealed yet. So possibly something you guys will be able to see at PAX.
Okay.
But I'm all for.
Yeah. Solo indie developer focusing on atmospheric and surreal games, showcasing this pack's classics from their back catalog, and for the very first time, their upcoming unannounced horror game. Super cool. I'm going to the website also. I'm curious. Matt, this is a Mike and Matt-ass website.
Yeah.
Look at my face right now.
Look at Mike's face.
I have entered Beavis and Butthead to America. Hilariously enough, Iron Man VR is on this website.
Oh my god.
I don't think I, aside from that, they must have did support. I don't think I, Adios. I recognize Adios. Interesting. Yeah, I'm going to hit them up. That's cool. Super cool, super cool. Kyle, another one we didn't shout out yet that I'm excited to make our annual visit to, Whitethorn Games.
Yeah, I love their whole mission statement. I always confuse the two, so please correct me if I'm wrong, Mike.
Sure.
I love Whitethorn is very much all about chill vibes, low stress.
When it low comes stress.
To games. Yeah. Yeah. Which I love, because not every game needs to be like hyper-focused to enjoy, and that is what they make. I always confuse them with Freedom Games when it comes to
sure. The
low stress stuff.
Yeah, I think Whitethorn typically gets confused or mistaken for like a wholesome, cozy publisher. They're very much not that. But yeah, it's very much like no matter what the genre is, it is just relaxed, low stress experiences that anyone who favors any genre could enjoy. Their lineup this year, super cool. They have some of their already released games like Lake, Calico, and Apico playable at the booth, but also Botany Manor. Magical Delicacy, which is Metroidvania cooking sim, looks super sick. And then Mythwreck, which is, they call it a friend-em-up adventure. It's like a third-person action game that I've had my eyes on for a bit. So yeah, Whitethorn, super cool. Another one I will, please.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Another one I would like to say hi to, and they're in our inbox, is the Academy of Art University. the students over there are creating some really interesting stuff. I kind of want to talk to them about showcase stuff and see if we could get some student projects on board for August. I think that would be super cool and super intriguing. The two in particular, I don't want to give anything away just in case we end up working with them, but horror titles that look or that sound pretty interesting and pretty intriguing. So some folks I want to hit up, and like kind of similar to Child's Play. I just like that there's a lot of people that are here to kind of like promote the health of the industry and the future of the industry, because it's vital, especially nowadays.
Matt, you've got to look at the link I just put in the chat. This website, the first game that popped up for me was a like 90s ass looking horror hat game. It immediately screamed Matt to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right?
Alisa right? is yeah, Alisa came out a couple weeks ago. I think this is a remaster of the older horror game. Okay. I think.
Yeah, that was the first thing I saw, and I was like, oh my god, Matt.
Matt
Frogan as well.
Yeah, Matt, admittedly, I forgot Alisa came out, and I forgot we did not talk about it.
Yeah. I forgot as well. So yep. Sorry, I was busy. I was reading the Voodoo Ranger IPA listing on PAX East. Sure. I was like, what the hell? Because you know me. Like, I was always at the MLB The Show booth at PSX because it was a bar. But the cool thing about this booth is it is also talking about able gamers. That's very important and really cool.
Kyle, you were going to say something before. Oh. Now Beck's going to say something.
I was just going to say, the Top Hat Studios first sentence of their description is so good. Top Hat Studios is your favorite publisher of great boutique indie delicacies. Yum.
Gabagools, you know?
Don't forget, is Wild Bill on here? I didn't see Wild Bill soda wagon.
Probably not.
It is.
The funniest thing with Wild Bill, I guess it was 2020, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a media badge, you got a free Wild Bill's jug.
Mug.
Yeah, cool.
I don't know what that is.
it's soda. It's like
they specifically go to like conventions.
But yeah, it's like a food truck, but it's like fountain soda, like their own custom fountain soda.
Oh. Yeah, like a little metal, cup thing.
It's like an endless fucking pit of disaster because the thing is so massive.
And it stains. My beard was stained like a dark red, like the black cherry soda. It was not great.
So I think it was 2020, it might have been 22, they offered a free mug for media and just like free refills throughout the day. So like the thing with Wild Bill is you buy one and you get free refills. So that media got a free one, and apparently it was like a disaster for them and they never offered that again. Because yeah, a lot of people, probably self-included, took advantage of that shit.
Yeah.
What I was going to bring up is there's a dev there called Fire Beast, and there's some other games that I think might that Matt might know better than I, because I can't remember them. But Fire Beast is the team behind some popular Flash games you might have played back then, such as Mighty Knight and Zombo Buster. Either of those ring a bell?
Maybe. I'd have to look at them to
Zombo
be
Buster.
Sure.
Maybe, but they're bringing another brand new entry to Mighty Knight there.
Okay,
which looks kind of cool.
Yeah,
I would type it in, but I don't want to get yelled at.
Two more friends. There's so many friends of the show attending. Cut to Bits, we just mentioned Adventures of the Vile launching May 7th. Cut to Bits, Masayo is going to be there. Officially met him last year at PAX West. Delightful human being. Very excited to catch up and play the new build. And then Daylight Basement Studios, Rifle Barry Arms from last year's showcase. Excited to say hi to them again. Spoilers, depending on how this weekend goes with showcase prep, I know I'm about to get yelled at. There's a Raleigh game convention. might do a quick like pop in because Daylight Basement's there. They shot me email like, hey, we should hang out for a little bit. I was like, oh, yeah, depending on how showcase goes, we'll see. So I might do a little quick little pop in, quick little like hour round, you know.
Mike's gonna have 2 weeks off after PAX.
I do have a week off after PAX.
I'm saying you're gonna have 2 weeks off after PAX. Did you?
That's fair.
Never stop.
Can't stop, won't stop, baby.
You hurt your knee bending down to pet a dog. So you're going to do more walking around before a major gaming convention?
Listen, Why do you think I've been saving the post? Any cops listening, their prescription, calm down, all right?
Mike doesn't drink alcohol, so he's okay.
Arguably, right, Celsius is worse. Yeah. Anyone else want to shout out anything else? There's a lot.
I just want to point out, I do have a couple more like games and stuff, but I want to point out the size of the Dunkin' booth, like Dunkin' yep. Donuts.
Correct.
So soda might not be there, but we've got Dunkin' and Mountain Dew is twice as large as that. So wow. I think we've got all our drink stuff covered.
Well, yeah, because you got the Mountain Dew gaming booth
featured. Featuring Baja gamers, you know?
I'm going to be fit out in so much Mountain Dew swag. while I rate the couches, it's gonna be
I
great.
I had a Mountain Dew since I was 12 years old.
I have a
last
feeling
time I had one was Gaming Fuel the first time that came out.
I have a feeling we're gonna be drinking a lot of Mountain Dew this weekend.
Oh my god, there it is, Kyle. Sponsored by Mountain Dew.
I wish.
So the question is Duncan gonna be selling the jumpsuits from the Super Bowl commercial?
Oh, god. Good question.
Will Ben Affleck be there?
Yeah.
Or will they just have it in like a glass case that says, yeah, right. Do not touch this case.
Yeah. Or it's like a cutout. You put your head in there and take a photo with it.
Honestly, shocked.
No flash photography.
We haven't had Dunkin' at PAX before.
I mean, thought? Yeah, for a Boston-based thing, it's kind of crazy.
Oh, Boston, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Don't look at me like I was crazy for that thought. Like,
I'm thinking back at PAX West when Cheez-Its or something had a massive fair. Booth and they were getting snippy because people wanted bags of Cheez-Its. And it was like, one per guest.
One per guest.
I do want to shout out, after finally experiencing the masterpiece that is Baldur's Gate, I will stop by the Larian booth and just shake everyone's hand and be like, thank you for what you made. Much appreciated.
God, that... Obviously, nothing against Baldur's Gate or anything like that, but like that's going to be the area I avoid at all costs because I'm sure it's going to be
busy
fucking hopping the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
So Kenna asks, the question is, are you hitting Denny's? So Kenna, silence yourself for a little bit.
silence yourself. I love
you. This game looks really cute. It's called Part of You. The team is called Team Sometimes Y.
Oh.
And this game looks so cute. I'll send the link so you guys
please do.
All look
just
for
scroll.
It.
Just scroll.
Pause for keyboard sounds.
There you go.
I have something to shout out.
Please.
1985 Games is going to be there. They have a booth. They're actually out of Portland. More tabletop centered, but they have dice sets, but they're in like little sleeve cases that look like old VHS, like recordable VHS.
Oh, that's cool.
But I was laughing because they have a pin that's like a Windows error message pop up. It says error D20, and then where like you would click like okay, it just says fuck. And like, I want that.
Nice.
Part of You looks super cute. It's out next week, also, which is great. And Matt, kind of speaking of that, a staple for my packs and has nothing to do with indie games, but Dial Up Games, always a great booth. At West last year, I got my Star Fox Adventures guide, a nice pristine sealed copy of that. So excited to hit them up. Actually, Star Fox Assault. Star Fox Assault.
Didn't I get
which is literally right next to me.
A Star Fox guide last year at PAX East?
Potentially.
I found at a booth. I thought or I told you about it.
Oh, and yeah. Bought it. Which or whatever it's also right next to me.
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that another thing. I like looking at all the local games vendors there that are selling games. Maybe I will, you know, quadruple dip and buy the FF8. And FF7 double pack on Switch. I don't know. Maybe. I have a problem. It is what it is.
Kyle, you don't have a problem. I have a problem.
Thank you, man.
A couple other or a few other shout outs. I want to hit up PM Studios. They're friends also. They always have a great lineup. They have the name is different since we showed it in the showcase, but they have Zoe. The hand-drawn schmuck.
Oh, snap. Okay.
They're publishing Zoe now. I think it's called Zoe Be Gone now.
Okay, cool.
Sweet.
And I at West last year, the dev was there. And, like, we locked eyes with each other and, like, instantly embraced. Like, we just knew each other's energy. So, yeah, very excited to catch up with PM. Same with Armor Games. Armor Games always has a great lineup. I'm curious to see what they're bringing to East. Dusk Sharp, who we met at Play NYC over the summer.
Yeah.
Scramble Star Crossing. Very excited to see.
It's a fun time.
So good. I'm excited to actually get my hands on it this time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just catch up with them. And an individual game, something I saw at West, but I didn't get to play it because it was hopping. And I also just didn't play any games at West. Big Boy Boxing, the Boss Rush, like Punch Out inspired game.
I was going to mention that one. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like a killer time.
Yeah. You may want to try. Not indie related, but you may want to try hitting up Ilphonic, see if you can find Geo. Maybe he'll be there. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. God,
is he still there?
Yeah, I think he's still with Ilphonic.
I wonder if he has any Vita games in his pockets at all times.
Lovely human being. I mean, the last time I think the last time any of us saw him was PSX.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At whatever restaurant that was. Oh, Portillo's.
Yep. And I'll get a copy of Horizon. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone have anything else before we kind of settle down for the evening?
Kind Words 2 will be there.
Kind Words 2? Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If Hellskid's there, I can't wait to play it. I haven't played it yet.
That was all the tabs I had open.
Okay. Well, it's going to be a busy, busy weekend for my busy, busy bees. You know what I'm saying? What I'm most excited about really is just like wandering and just seeing something I'm unfamiliar with. Like the best part of PAX is, best part of PAX East in particular is the outskirts, the walls, just going around the walls and seeing like some of the smaller, like the cheap 10x10 booths that like just feels like super indie. Like they grinded their ass off to be able to afford that booth. And like, usually that's where the bangers are at. And of course, Rising is always a great time as well. But yeah, it should be a good time. And as a reminder, of course, your next episode of the 6-1 IndieCast is going to be the showcase post show that will be publishing on YouTube and the podcast services as soon as the showcase ends on March 20th. And then on March 22nd, you are getting your first of three nightly PAX East episodes. And then once we're back from PAX East, we're taking that week off and then we return for a normal episode. I think it's like the first week of April we're back. But again, like the full breakdown of what everything is and whatever, I can't talk. It's over on patreon.com/61indie. So go check that out. And, yeah, once again, Wednesday, March 20th, 8:50 AM Pacific, 11:50 AM Eastern, the 6-1indie showcase premieres on 6-1indie.com/showcase and youtube.com/6-1indie. Please tell your friends all about it. Spread the word, all that good stuff. And yeah, hang out and chat. We'll be in chat. I'm excited to see everybody's reactions. Mm-hmm. I'm also anxious, as always.
You're human.
Am I?
Is he?
Well, I won't be this weekend.
I think we did determine that you were just like an otherworldly creature.
I am. Yes.
Celsius.
Amazon has my flavor. I think a 12 pack for like $20. Might start doing that. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
R.I.P. Richard Lewis. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The homie.
On your deathbed, your children are going to be saying, "Papa, please put the Celsius down."
I'll say never. I'll give him a choke slam. You know. All right, y'all. Good night. Love you. Hope to see you at PAX.
Stay safe.
Stay safe. Mask up mask up, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Love you.
Bye. I forgot I also had to hit the stop button.
Bye.